Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we ask you first and foremost, I ask you first and foremost, Father, to forgive me for my sins, Father, for the ones that I've sinned against you in thought, in deed, in word, Father, I ask you for your forgiveness. Father, I also pray for my brothers and sisters, all of whom may be suffering, Father, whether it's emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that, Father, you look after physically, that you look after them. I pray for Sister Marlene. I pray for my Emma Deborah. I pray for my brother Shafut L. I pray for my brother Sheba L. I pray for my brother Deuel. I pray for my rabbi. I pray for my sisters. I pray for Malka. I pray for everything. My sister Ahava, children. I pray for Kaya, Naomi, Sarah, Danielle, Nasia, Marcus, all of the children. If I fail to remember anybody's name, please forgive me, family. Dael, Danielle, Chomi, Sarah, everybody that's going through something right now, that's feeling all the pressures of the world. I pray for my brother Ariel. I pray for my brother Yariel. I pray for my sister Samaria. I pray for my sister Oria. Eliora, my sister Mariah. I pray for everybody, Father. Everybody, whatever they're going through, great or small, Father, whatever may be troubling. I pray for my Zakeem Gary, for his situation. I pray for my Zakeem Ward. I pray for his situation. I pray for their wives and whatever they may be going through, Father. I pray for everybody, Father. I ask, Father, that you send healing, Father, that you send your ministering angels in any and every way to anyone who needs them this day, right now, Father. And this Shabbat day, I pray for my brother's at the beach, chilling, having fun, watching the ocean. I pray for my brother Ivy down there at the ocean, and I'm glad that he made it down there safely. I pray that he makes it back safely when he returns, Father. And forgive me if I left anybody out by name. Please forgive me. Your brother Ahab Bell has his shortcomings too, and memories one of them. My brother Maral. I pray for everybody, Father, within this house of Beth Yahweh, as well as the universal house of Beth Yahweh, Father. I pray for everybody, Father. You know, we're all going through something. You talking to my sister, Sister Bithia, Aunt Karen. Her and I were sharing, Father, how the things that's going on in this world, Father, they seem to be beating us down, just wearing on us spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and sometimes it comes into our body physically. Father, my brother expressed to me, Abba, yesterday that he was just physically tired because of the physical demand of the job, Father, and then having to go home and be a father, be a husband, be a parent, be a spouse, Father. I pray for everybody, Father, that you uplift them, that you uphold them, that you send your strength from on high down to everybody in every way that they need, Father. Fill them up with your spirit. Fill them up with your strength, Father. Fill them up with holiness and righteousness, Father, as we start to embark on this. Father, you made the month. You know, man has decided to do what he did, you know, with the changing of times, Father, and changing these seasons, Father, into months and days, Father, that you don't recognize, Father. You don't recognize these months and days because, Father, this is not what you named them, Father. You only recognize them in the way that you named them. And all these unholy and satanic and demonic celebrations that they have devised, Father, especially in this whatever they call it month, Father, where they show you, Father, what spirit they are filled with, Father, and how the stench, Father, is coming closer and closer to reaching to your nostrils, Father, with the things that we see going on in this world, Father. They want to take these little children, Father, and abuse them. They want to take these little children, Father, and fill them with satanic and demonic doctrines, Father. None of them are safe doors. These principalities and powers and forces in high places, Father, want to do nothing but corrupt the children, corrupt your children, Father, corrupt this world and send this world into utter chaos and utter darkness, Father. And I ask, Father, as we embark upon this season, Father, that you uphold us, Father. You strengthen us, Father, to not fight against your rainbow, Father, but to fight against their rainbow, Father. We ask for strength and power to uphold and to rebuke every demonic spirit that tries to push their agenda on us, Father. Every principality, Father, we ask that you fight against them, Father, and, Father, that you rebuke them, Father, in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Father, that they don't stand, Father, against you, Father, that you... Father, we know that your holy and perfect will is always going to be done in this world, Father. We know, Father, that one of the things that they are going to try to do, Father, is to wear down the patience of the saints, Father. But, Father, we just ask now, Father, that you give us the strength to carry on, Father, to add. You walk with us, Father, that we walk with you, Father, that you, Father, you uphold us, you uplift us, Father, you sustain us, Father, that you give us every ounce of strength that we need, Father, to do your will in this untoward and this backward and this reprobate generation, Father. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of thy Son, Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen, amen, and amen. Forgive me, family. Technology don't seem to want to cooperate with me this day. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth, and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Mr. Bukai. I hope I'm coming through okay today. Nothing really wanted to work and nothing. I got an ox in a ditch situation going on in my house right now. It seems like for some reason he's just trying to fight. But you know what? I'm going to fight back. Punch, counter punch. You know that's how it's going to go today. I'm keeping my guards up, family. I just ask that you keep me in prayer. Because for some reason, stuff wants to seem to not happen today. So I hope I'm coming through. Even when I tried to log into the host line, some reason, it didn't want to work. Computer didn't want to work. But could somebody just send me a little text? Let me see, make sure I don't have my stuff on. Send me a text. All right, hallelujah. I got the high sign from my brother Deuel and from my brother Yarel. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom, warriors. Shabbat shalom, soldiers. Shabbat shalom to everybody that's within the voice of this broadcast today. I'm your brother, Ahab Ar, with Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is the last installment for me for my time on Blog Talk Radio. As of next week, we will be hearing, by Yahweh's permission, our brother Deuel, and he will start in whatever way Yahweh chooses to lead, my brother. So, hallelujah. You just keep my brother in prayer, because I said for some reason the adversary trying to fight today, trying to work through his devices, you know, this technology. It's all good, but Yahweh's will is going to be done. So today, the title of the lesson is Family, the Conclusion of the Matter. And Yahweh laid that on my heart, and of course, the verse that he placed on my heart was Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And, you know, before we get into the conclusion, and we're going to have a few conclusions today. I'm concluding my six-week series, which got really stretched out because of, you know, life circumstances and life situation. And one of the other things that Abba, you know, has led us to go through the scriptures, and, you know, today by his permission, you know, we'll be closing out our, wow, I want to say, you know, it may have been about a decade since we started our journey through the entire Bible, you know, through the various books that may not be included in the quote-unquote canon. We went through the apocryphal books, and now we, you know, having gone through, you know, I'm not going to say the New Testament, I'm going to say going through the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach, as my brother, you know, eloquently, Yahweh laid it on his heart to coin this era and this age as the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. And, you know, today we should be finishing up the book of Revelation. And then, you know, talking to my rabbi, we'll see where Yahweh places on his heart to lead us again as we travel through our quote-unquote proverbial 40 years in the wilderness as his children who are, you know, fire by night, you know, cloud by day, you know, as we wait for that latter rain from on high to fill us up with his spirit, as my brother shared with us, you know, holy day, Shavuot, you know, that we are right on time with what it is, with how things transpired millennia ago. You know, we have been right on time with his timing, you know, and that's what confirms for me time and time again that we are definitely the people, we are his people, the flock under his care. And even though we may not necessarily understand from time to time where Yahweh is leading us, just imagine this, family. We crossed through the Sea of Reeds. We saw Pharaoh's army destroyed in shallow waters. We come across on dry land. And at that point, the real journey begins, the real trials, the real tests begin
when it comes to having faith in Yahweh. Because at that point, Israel got out of the comfort zone. The only thing that they had ever known all of their existence for hundreds of years, all they knew was being captives. All they understood was being enslaved in Egypt. And, you know, we went through, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and our families, our ancestors, our great grandmothers and grandfathers, and what they struggled with. They struggled with obeying Yahweh. That was their issue among all other things. They struggled with being led the way Yahweh was leading them. But he said that not their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes. Think about it. They never had to go clothes shopping. They never had to go shoe shopping. They never had to worry about their provisions being met. All that they needed were provided for them the entire time of the world, even to the point where Yahweh, they cried out, oh, it was better that we had died in Egypt. There wasn't enough graves in Egypt for us to be buried in. You had to take us out here in the wilderness. And again, these are the men. You had to bring us out here into the wilderness so that we could die. We want them good vegetables that we had back in Egypt. So Yahweh said, you know, I'm going to do you one better. You want vegetables? I'm going to bring you quail. I'm going to give you some chicken. I'm going to take you up to Park's Chicken, and I'm going to get you. I'm going to open up the floodgates. And he said, a wind blew, and nothing but quails filled the ground. Yahweh said, don't think I can't provide for you. You want vegetables? I'm a one-up you on that. I'm going to bring you meat. I'm going to bring you chicken. I'm going to bring you these quails. And as a matter of fact, you're going to have so much, it's going to come out your nose. You're going to get tired of what I can provide for you. So man is not enough? Man is not enough? I'm sending you food from heaven. That's not enough for you? Got the people so frustrated to the point. We thirsty. We want some water. Where the water fountains at around here? We thirsty. Okay. Got Moses so frustrated. So frustrated. It got in between his and Yahweh's relationship. He said, speak to the rock. And it's going to spring forth water for the people. But the people got so deep under his skin. What did he do? He said he struck the rock twice. Must I bring forth water from this? He had enough of the people. That's how. And if you've ever been somebody who had somebody underneath you and they got under your skin, trust me. And I was telling my brother, I understand Moses. I understand the frustration. When you're dealing with your own people, your own flesh and blood, quote unquote, your own kinfolk, and you think you've done so much to try to help, so much to try to uplift, so much to cover for them from time to time, and yet and still, never enough. Never enough. It's never, ever enough. So he struck the rock twice, and it hurt Abba that he did that. And Abba said, you know what? You're going to look at this beautiful land that they're going to have, but you can't cross over. Why? Because you did not sanctify before the people. And that was Moses' error. He did not sanctify the people. But it was never meant for him to go over there. But still at the same time, it's one of the things that I remember Gershom and Daniel telling us, that when the writer was writing the testimony, he ain't say, oh, don't write that part. No. To the contrary, every single prophet at some point, even though they have felt the presence, even though they have seen the presence, even though they have dwelt in the presence, Moshe to the point where he became a whole nother, his skin transformed in front of the people. They said he started to glow. He started to become a superhuman at some point to the people. Another prophet was so infused with the Holy Spirit that a dead man fell on his bones and he was brought back to life. That's some otherworldly power right there, family. That's some amazing power that a prophet's bones are infused. He's dead and gone. All that's left is his skeleton, and you mean it's still infused with such power that it could bring a man back from the dead? And again, he didn't stop writing when they messed up. He didn't stop writing when they erred. He said, make sure you show them that they are, leave the testimony of Yahweh Elohim in there that they messed up too. So the prophets are immune from having shortcomings. He said Elijah was a man who was subject to the same things that we were subject to, but he prayed earnestly to Yahweh. He cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh still heard him. Talking to my brother, Kanik'al, and he dropped a little gem on me about, you know, it wasn't the fact that Yahushua, when he was in the garden of Gethsemane, he was like, he didn't want to do it for the sake of not wanting to go through the pain and the suffering. The pain and the suffering for him was knowing at some point he was going to be, was going to have to be separated from Yah, from his heavenly Father, from Yah, for just a moment. And that was enough to kill him. He didn't want that. He didn't want that. Because he said, I know you hear me always. I ain't got to worry about another angel coming down and sending a message to me. I got a direct connect with you. You mean for some reason, you mean at some point, not for some reason, you mean at some point that connection is going to be severed and you got to turn your back to me and I cannot feel you? I can't. He said, it's finished. I can't go through that for too much longer. It's finished. I'm done. Once he couldn't feel that presence, he had to give up the ghost. He had to let go at that point. He even said to his father at one point, give me back the glory I once had. Because he had to be dumped down into the flesh. As the scriptures say, the foolishness of people, he had to come down and experience what we experience in this flesh. And I'm sorry, friend, I'm yammering on. Oh, and I'm sorry for saying I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. Again, the conclusion of the matter, family. But in order to get to the conclusion, let's take a step back to the beginning. Let's go back to where this all began, because it began with our current condition that we are in, what we're seeing in the world today. And I tell you that what they try to do, and again, like I said, this ain't Yahweh's month. They're doing this on their time. I believe we're either at the 15th or the 16th of the month, right? So it's not even the beginning of a month. You know, we're at the midpoint through the month. I have to check with my two timekeeping brothers, my two timekeeping watchmen. I believe we're either we're at the 15th or the 16th of the month. But forgive me, I'm not the timekeeper, so I don't know. I just remember looking at the moon a few days ago, and it was almost full. But I lost track of time. But it all began, you know, with three simple words formed as a question to someone who had not spoken to the Almighty directly. And the three simple words, at least how I'm going to present it, is, did God say? Or hath God said? Just three simple words. It could be, depending on which translation, it might not be three words, but I hope y'all get a seed of doubt was planted. Once someone was able to come in between what the word of Yahweh said and what that person's desire was, did God say, that changed that right there changed the mindset and the outlook and the outcome for our entire existence as human beings. One simple question that was asked. Did God really say that? Did God say that? Did God say that? Ask God, say, yea, did he say this? And we see the end result. And we haven't seen the worst of it yet. We have not seen the worst of what humanity has to offer in its attack against the creator of us all. We haven't seen the worst of it yet. Yes, it's bad. You know, but one of the things that I'm loving about what I'm saying, you know, you have, even though, again, they aren't necessarily of the same faith we are, I love those crusaders that are out there. They're saying, you know what? Any organization that wants to try to indoctrinate our children, we're not going to invest in that company. I'm not sure if y'all been paying attention about what's been going on with one of the major retailers, one that I love to shop at. But one of the things that they did in anticipation of this unholy celebration that they got going on for the next 27 days was they actually went to a Satanist and actually had the Satanist design clothing and shirts for children to wear with a special message from Hasatan to the children. And then they got these outfits for these people who want to tell the world that they are different than the way God made them, that they are somehow trapped inside a body that wasn't made for them. So people are fighting back. People are pushing back. People are saying H3 double hockey sticks. No. And any organization that goes against our principles, our morals, our values, we're going to punish you for it. We're not going to spend our money. And they are, if you want to hurt somebody, especially these people out there, you want to hurt these CEOs, these principalities and powers, take their money from them. Don't give them your dollar. So now what they had to do in these stores, they had to push it to the back of the store, because this was front and center when you would walk into these stores. They tried to do it with a particular liquor brand. And these people said, no, we ain't going for it. That liquor brand lost billions in a few days. Got so bad, that liquor brand can't give it away at this point. We're talking about alcohol that Americans love, beer that Americans love to consume in abundance. I personally love beer. I don't drink it as much as I used to because it has adverse effects on my waistline. And I don't like to get joked by my bros for my bulging waistline. So I don't drink it as much as I used to. But I love it. Didn't drink that particular brand per se. But the people fought back. They fought them where it hurts. You're not going to push this agenda on us, and we're not going to come back fighting. But again, you know, me and my brother may fight, but me and my brother will fight our cousin. But when it comes down to it, yes, even though they may be quote-unquote moral and upstanding according to these words, world standards, when it comes now to fight, remember now what we learn in Ezra. They're going to stop fighting one another to fight against the saints. We had North Korea just send another rocket over Japan in their efforts to intimidate them. And did y'all know that Japan was the highest holder of treasury bonds in the United States? Everybody, I personally thought it was China. No, China's number two. Japan is number one. But North Korea sent another rocket over into Japan's airspace, taunting them. But remember what we read in 2nd Ezra. As a matter of fact, we read it two weeks in a row. Abba laid it on the hearts of his morays to talk about what 2nd Ezra said. That when it comes time, even though it's a foolish day for them, when it comes time to fight against the Most High, they are going to stop fighting with each other and be confederate in their war against him. Why do y'all think, one, they started a space force? Why do y'all think they're starting to really prop up this UFO sighting thing, this space invasion thing? Why y'all think they doing that? Why you think they have, quote-unquote, Guardians of the Galaxy 1, 2, and 3, and you have this guy coming down to Thanos coming to invade the Avengers? You know, you got this big outer-worldly being that's coming to destroy humanity. That's what they – and the world came together and fight. Black Panther, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man. What y'all think Thor represents? Thor represents the god of this world. So they're calling on the power of the god of this world as well as forces to fight against the quote-unquote scary space invader who wants to set things in order. Why? And now we see it playing out. They're not hiding the fact now that there's quote-unquote UFO sightings. Why? Now we see, based on what the word said, they're going to fight against. They are preparing the minds. And these movies ain't so much made for the adults, but they're made for the generations coming up behind us. That there's this person who is coming to disrupt the order. Isn't that what Yahushua HaMashiach is supposed to do when he comes back? Disrupt this order? Why did we make a space force under, I forgot what number president he was. Anyway, as my brother calls him, Durump. Why do you think he set up a space force? A literal space force. If you don't believe me, go look at to fight an outer-worldly invader. What is this outer-worldly invader they preparing themselves to fight against? Foolishly. But anyway. And don't take my word for it. Y'all look it up. Space invader that's coming. Yahushua, he is the Hebrew. He is the Israelite. What does it mean to be a Hebrew? One who comes over from the other side. What other side is there to come from over? The side we can't see. The side that's unrevealed to us. The side that we hope to cross over into. So when he comes back, what did he say? It ain't say that he's coming from the ground. It says, behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, isn't the sun in outer space. In the clouds up in the in what we call the atmosphere, what the scriptures refer to as the firmament. So he's coming from the firmament. He's coming from another side. He's coming from beyond this realm. That's scripture. That's the reality of scripture. He said, I'm not from this place. He told us straight up, y'all live here, but this ain't, I'm not from this place. I was created on the other side. But a body had to be made for me in order to exist on this side. And we talked about it at the men's retreat a few years back, what that was. This ain't just science fiction. This is science reality. This is scriptural reality. Sure, it may sound crazy, and I am crazy. But that's the reality. We read in Daniel what that angel looked like. They don't look like us. When he described that angel, they don't look like us. And we don't look like them. We just read in Revelations what some of those otherworldly beings look like. Some got the face of an eagle. Some got the face of a lion. Some got the face of a bull. Some got many eyes. Some got many wings. You ever seen anything on this side that looks like that? Not unless he opens your eyes and quickens your mind and calms your spirit down. Again, it began with three simple words formed as a question to someone who had not spoken to the Almighty directly. Did God say? So let's go look at it. Let's go back to the beginning. We're going to start in Bereshit 1:26. Forgive me. I have to keep the window open. So you might hear my guard dog. He's just a barker. So forgive me if you hear him barking on the outside. And if you don't, bless you, because I hear him. Genesis 1:26 reads, and Yahweh said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So Yah created man in his own image. In the image of Yah created he him. Male and female created he them. 1:28. And Yahweh blessed them. And Yahweh said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And Yah said, behold, I have given you every herb. Oh, sorry, I was supposed to stop at 26. So we see there that Yah created man, right? He gave them dominion. He said to them, to be fruitful and multiply, right? He gave them some directives. He gave them some things to do. He told, this is his voice talking, telling them what to do, telling them what he expects from them. He said, I made this earth. I'm giving it to you. I'm entrusting it to you. And we know what happened. He brought all the animals to Adam for him to name them. He gave Adam power. He was making Adam just like him. All right? He was making Adam just like him. Continuing on. And it's so funny that somebody put out here, I'm going to start reading again from 28:128. And Yahweh blessed them, and Yahweh said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And Yahweh said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So, you know, my brother Baruch is on a juice cleanse, on a juice fast. We already know one of the brothers, our brother Ivy, he ain't fooling with no meat. But we see, you know, somebody put out the video of the New York mayor and how he was going blind, and he was being told that he was an insulin diabetic, and that an insulin-dependent diabetic, and I work with an insulin-dependent diabetic, and it's rough. It's rough having to, I've worked with several insulin-dependent diabetics over the years, and when they got to put that needle, and I remember my old colleague having to put that needle in their stomach, and they dreaded having to do that, but they had to do that in order to survive. But one of the things, for sure, they wasn't changing their lifestyle. But we see from the testimony of their brother, the New York City mayor, that by changing his lifestyle back to a plant-based diet, and not that everybody has to do that, but in some situations, like you said, it's not in our DNA, it wasn't in his DNA to be a diabetic that was going blind and having all these health issues. It was in his dinner. It was in his diet. It was in the food that he was eating that was causing him to suffer this disease. How many diseases can be reversed by changing your eating habits, by changing, even if you don't commit, because I was able to commit to it, y'all know, for a few months. But after a while, you're going to lie, that chicken called me fried chicken. My sister had fried chicken at the food some day, and that fried chicken called my name. The fried chicken say, aha. I answered. We had the greatest tasting cake I had in a long time, and I was literally just coming off a detox. And I was telling them I just retoxed because the food was so good, and it's like a drug. Y'all know my struggle with I have a food addiction. I'm sharing y'all some sincere truth. I'm not joking when I say that I have a food addiction. It's hard for me to get over certain foods. I've tried and tried again, and I'll be back on the habit. I'll be back on the habit. And my sister knew. She looked at me, and was like, chicken got chicken, fried chicken, cake got me. But as the brother said, it's my health issues, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and other things I suffer from, aren't the result of necessarily what's in my DNA, even though, yes, my father, I come from two grandparents. One, my paternal grandmother was debilitated with a stroke. Paternal grandfather, he died very early from heart disease. My father, even though prostate cancer was stirred to his bone, ultimately is what took him out. He struggled as long as I had known him with high blood pressure. But it ain't stopping from going to eat that McDonald's. It didn't stop him. Didn't stop him from changing his taste. My mother tried. She was good. She made foods with no salt. She did everything that the doctor asked her not to do. My father still went out there and dibbed and dabbed and ate food he knew he wasn't supposed to do. Look up in his cab. He got all kinds of wrappers like that. You ain't supposed to be doing that. I know, son. I know. So I get it honest. But he wasn't overweight, though. That's the thing. My dad wasn't overweight. But anyway. But, again, the brother said it's not the DNA. It's the dinner. It's some of us got to change our eating habits in order to have. But it's a struggle. It's a struggle, just like it is doing the will and the work of Yahweh. It's a struggle sometimes. It's a struggle. Anyway, back to 129. And Yahweh said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seeds, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. So even the animals initially were supposed to survive off of the vegetation. 131 reads, Genesis 131 reads, and Yahweh saw, and Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. On to chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth, all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Elohim created and made. So we see from the very beginning, we were commanded to do certain things, be fruitful and multiply, partake in having dominion over this earth and the sea and everything. We were given power, and we were also told how to eat properly. And we were also told that there was a day that God rested, and on that day that he rested, there was a blessing in that day that he rested. And in future time, we would get the directive to rest with him as he rested on this Shabbat day. All right, all was saying. 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that Yahweh Elohim made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for Yahweh Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. 2:9. And out of the ground made Yahweh Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, now, family, we're going to skip down to 2:15. And Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So he's letting them know, if you disobey me and you eat this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's going to be a consequence. You will die. You will die if you don't obey my voice. 2:18. And Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground, Yahweh formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So bear, Adam called it a bear. Now, of course, that's not what he called it exactly, but whatever Hebrew word that Adam formed at that point in the garden, that's what it is called to Yahweh. the deer, the giraffe, whatever. That's what it was called to Yahweh. And Yahweh respected that. So what does that tell you about his relationship with Adam? What does that tell you about the intellect of Adam? What does that tell you about the intellect of Yah? Of Yahweh, the one that created him in his image and in his likeness. Thing that my brother and I were talking about. If you want to understand humanity, you understand human beings, understand yourself. That's something that Gershom and Daniel told us decades ago. If you want to understand yourself. Know thyself. If you know yourself, you can know what other human beings go through. If you know your vices, you know what you suffer from. And now what we said, whatsoever is hateful unto you, don't do it to your brother. Whatever bothers you, don't bother somebody else with it. Okay, 220, sorry, not 2020, 220. Genesis 2:20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. It wasn't a suitable help for Adam. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man, made he a woman. And brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So look at all the things that Yahweh is setting in order. He's letting us know the divine order of things at this point. This is the divine order of things. This is why humanity is supposed to go the course. Man finds woman. Woman and man come together. Woman and man leave the parents that they had grown up under. Woman and man now come together. Woman and man, once they come together, woman and man now produce another human being that is going to be a woman or a man. Hence, that is the divine, the holy and sacred order of things. Now man wants to convince you that this order no longer exists. But yet and still, the British Glamour magazine has on it a quote-unquote pregnant man. No. If you've got the anatomy, even though, yes, you want to cut off your other parts of your being, that one being that you want to sit and portray to the world that you are expecting, guess what you just did? You just disproved your entire theory. You just disproved your entire agenda. You sitting on the British Glamour magazine with your pregnant belly, even though you may not have the mammary glands that you were supposed to naturally develop, even though you want to tell yourself, because I cut my hair in a man's fashion, because and I wear a suit, I wear men's pants, hold up, sister, hold up. If you got that baby germinating inside your belly, which is going to absolutely, at some point, come out of you, you are a woman. You are doing with your body what the divine order already stated for you to do. So it's not your body that is out of order. And if it's not your body that is out of order, then what is out of order? It's your mind. It's your spirit. It's your psyche. It's your thinking that is out of order, not your body. But it's working the way Abba intended for it to work. Your creator, my creator, all the universe's creator, your body is working the way it was intended to, despite. And if you was really serious about being a man, trust and believe, there ain't no way in this world you're trying to be pregnant. I know hardcore people who have that mindset that said, ain't no way a baby popping out of me. Ain't no way I'm even going to allow myself to get germinated that way. Ain't no way I'm allowed seed to be planted inside me for that to happen. So you ain't really hardcore. You ain't really about that life. You ain't. You're fooling yourself. You're lying to yourself. You're a caricature. For shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And Genesis 2:25 reads, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and this is very important here, when it says, and were not ashamed. Now let's take a look at what it means when it says that they were not ashamed. Remember where they are now. They're still in their purest state, right? So let's take a look at that word ashamed, right? They were not ashamed. And it's from it's in the Hebrew section, 9:5-4. Pretty funny because you take the 9, you add the 5 and the 4. The 5 and the 4 adds up to 9. Anyway, not to get off into that, right? And it means, and the word is boosh, a primitive root, properly to pale. That is, by implication, to be ashamed, also by implication, to be disappointed or delayed, to be, make, bring to, cause, put to, with ashamed or ashamed, be put to, confounded, confusion, become dry, delay, be long. Right? So we see at this point there was no corruption in them. There was nothing wrong with them. It says they weren't in that state at that point. They could walk around freely with one another and see each other with no clothes on, even married people to this day. In the midst of their spouse, at times, they cover themselves. Even though between them and their spouse, their significant other, between the husband and the wife, they've seen and experienced just about everything that they could with one another. At times, they still cover in front of each other. Adam and Eve at that point, there was no reason for them to cover with one another. But yet and still, they were still given the directive to be fruitful and multiply. But there was no shame. There was no corruption between the two of them. Now, I wanted to also look at some of what the ancient Hebrew says about it, because the root of this is the bet and the shin, and it's bush, where we get the term bashful from, right? And I believe we talked about this in regards to some other things a while before, right? And let's just look at some of those words. If you have it, you can read it with me. If not, I'll read it for you, family. This is in the ancient Hebrew lexicon of the Bible, which focuses on, you know, the roots of these words, right? And one of the, it says to wither dry, a drying up of a land, stream, or plant, you know, et cetera, right? And it says when a wetland dries up, the fish and vegetation die and begin to stink from the rotting matter. So there was nothing, about them at that point that was a foul smell to Yahweh. Let's just put it like that. There was nothing between the two of them, right? Nothing stank. Nothing. They were in the pure state. I mean, even when you think about babies sometimes, right? At some point in a baby's existence, they get away from you, right? When you have a child. And they ain't got their clothes on. They just run out, boop, 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 with everything exposed. No diaper, no nothing. Because that's not even in their mind. It's like, come back here, come put your diaper on, come back here, I'll put some clothes on you. But to them, it's a big old ha-ha-hee-hee. Once they get to running, they run out there, and you're like, get back in here. But in their mind, there's no thought of that. There's no thought of that. There's no thought of, I got to put my diaper on. It's not until they get older that they start to get that awareness put in them that, oh, you need to cover up your private areas. Now here's where it all goes south, family. And again, we're going back to the beginning in order to get to where we need to in the conclusion. And we know this chapter very well. So we're going to read the whole chapter. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And that is true. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And that little clause in there, that little clause in there, where does that come from? Anyway, but there are two parts that's true. Ye shall not eat of it, lest ye die. Right? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. So funny, me and my brother got into discussion yesterday about, you know, where the corruption began. The corruption didn't begin here with Adam and Eve. We learned about it when we read the book of Enoch. The corruption began there first and then got transferred down here. And when the woman saw, 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired. Remember, what is it? Hedonism? Intellectualism? Hedonism? I failed to remember the other one. Hedonism, intellectualism, forgive me. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat it, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat it. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They had become corrupted. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim among the trees of the garden. Just imagine what that looked like. You know, imagine what that looked like. Think about the times as a kid you went and played hide and seek. And you found a secure space. You found yourself the most secure space you could in order to not get caught. That's what they did. They hid themselves. As they heard the voice of Yahweh walking in the garden, they hid. They got away from him. They ran from him. And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said, where are you? Think about that. He comes looking for his two little children to the place where they normally would meet up. And they're not there. And he's like, where y'all at? Where are you? Why? Because he was expecting to see them. Why? Because he wanted to see them. Why? Because they had a relationship that he valued. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So that's the first thing that happened to him. My brother talked about it before. Fear corrupted themselves. The first thing that came over them was fear. Think about the times you did something you know your parent was going to be upset with you about, whether it was your mother, whether it was your father. You know you did something that you messed up. And you knew there were going to be consequences. You know, like back in our day, the teacher would call home and say, hey, your son, he was out of character today. He was cutting up. He was acting up. And, you know, back then there was corporal punishment. Real punishment, not parents that you feel me? You know, he's 17, he's 5 years old. What am I supposed to do? How am I accountable for my child's behavior? This is how parents feel nowadays. Your child carrying a gun. He pulls out the gun in the presence of police officers. The police officers, in fear for their life, do what they're supposed to do. And you want to blame the police for that, for your child's bad behavior? You need parenting yourself, my sister. You need parenting yourself if you don't see anything wrong with that. If you were all right with your child carrying a firearm because, oh, it's Baltimore City, he needs protection. You were good with it. You co-signed on it. And now because you didn't act like a parent, it cost your child. It cost your child because you weren't parenting. You were befriending. When you were called to be a parent, but anyway. 3:10. And he said, I heard that voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. 3:11. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? So he, as a good parent, you know, right away, you know, right away, he knew exactly what happened to him. You ate of the tree of the garden. I told you not to eat of the tree of the knowledge. I told you the day you eat of it, you was going. I told you. You ain't listening. And as a good parent, he knew exactly what you had done. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And here we go, human nature, 3:12. And the man said, the woman with thou, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. He ain't give him no pass for what he did. He didn't give him no pass. So he knew that Eve was beguiled. He knew that Adam succumbed to him. He knew. And let's just keep it basic. Of course, we know there's several of the reasons why it happened, but just keep it basic. Keep your feet on the ground. Because this, thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of our life. And here's the first prophecy. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply. Hold up. Here we go. Here we go, Miss Man, Missus, they, them, he, she, them, they, them, he, sure, her, whatever, right? On UK Glamour magazine with your pregnant belly and your man haircut and your suit. He says, unto the woman he said, 3:16, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And so at some point, whether again, and the thing is, I'm going to say the sad part about it is now we have things like epidurals where, you know, the woman can have, like, you know, huge contractions and not really feel, you know, the contractions to the level where if she didn't have the epidural and they didn't give those medications, that every single contraction she would feel from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. So you may not feel it to the extent that you should probably feel it so that you can know, but beyond the shadow of a doubt, you is a woman. He says this, 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall bear rule over thee. He shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree. He ain't listened to Yahweh's voice. He listened to his wife's voice. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I command. Isn't that what was read in Esdras? Where he said, he has to be. What is more powerful? Is it wine? Is it the king? Or is it the woman? And the woman was the more powerful one. Why? And he detailed the whole thing. He said, why to do one thing? He said, the king can do one thing, but he said, men do this for women. Men do that for women. Women do this. And women give birth to the man. So the man loves his mama. Then he goes from loving his mama to loving his wife. And he works and toils so that his wife can be happy. He works and toils so that his wife can be content. That's in Esdras 2. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten the tree of which I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Don't we see that happening right now in our world today? Every day they're talking about climate change. That's a part of the curse. We have taken, think about this, we have taken the precious minerals, the precious things that the earth provides for us, and we have taken it, plastic, right? Comes from the earth, and we do things to it to the point where now the earth can't even receive it back. The earth can't even receive it back. Tires, you know, you got all these fools out here. get an electric car, get an electric car. Do you know that almost 100% of what you put in an electric car is still toxic to the environment? The cobalt batteries in particular that little children mine for in Africa, out of the Congo. So all these environmentalists, green this, green that, green this. You're doing worse for the environment with an electric car. The tires are still rubber, dummies. If you really wanted to, if you really want to talk about being an environmentalist, you know what you go back to? Horses and buggies. Horses ain't hard to ride. If you make a buggy, back in the day they made buggies out of trees. And cloth. And mankind survived with all of that. As a matter of fact, in Pennsylvania, different parts of the United States, you have people who still live very, very, very basically. You go to some parts of Pennsylvania or you go to some parts of Ohio, and guess what? You might get caught behind one of those people who still ride in a horse and buggy that they made themselves. That they made themselves. And when it's done, guess what? All of that can be recycled back to the earth. But your car can't. And in particular, your electric car absolutely cannot. Because guess what y'all done created with these electric cars? A whole nother world of problems. A whole nother world of problems. Because them lithium batteries are super toxic to the environment. They so dumb. I mean, like, really, man. It's like, it's just, but they got all these people all around the world thinking that that's the solution. As a matter of fact, I love to watch these conservatives when they get on, what's his name, John Kerry. They say, you flying all over the world, polluting the atmosphere with jet fuel, and you talking about you want to be environmental. All these top bigwig executives, how y'all get over to Geneva? How y'all get over there? Because y'all ain't swimming. Y'all ain't riding on whales and dolphins over there like Aquaman. So in order to get to these places, guess what y'all doing? Y'all polluting the atmosphere. Tons and tons of jet fuel being burnt up in the atmosphere. Y'all can go over and talk about how y'all going to make the planet greener and safer. Oh, my goodness. 3:17, and unto Adam, he's caused thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. From out of it it was taken. From out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living things. Unto Adam also and to his wife did Yahweh Elohim make coats of skins and clothe them. And Yahweh Elohim said, behold, a man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And I could hear him saying this with such sorrow. Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put tree of life and eat and live forever. He protecting that tree of life. That Etzkayim, he is protecting that. Therefore, 3:23, therefore Yahweh Elohim sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He protecting that tree of life, family. All right. Now we go into Ecclesiastes. I only got a few because I got to talk later. I ain't trying to talk too long today, my brothers and sisters. All right. We're going to read Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Starting at 12:1. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, and ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Yah who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he hath good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as gold and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Says this, and this is so important. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, when you get an opportunity, take some time and look at what this says in Hebrew, because actually what it actually reads, you can read it this way in Hebrew. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take a gander and read it in Hebrew for y'all. But when you get a chance, read this in Hebrew. It says, Sof Dabar. Sof Dabar. Wait a minute. Dabar, as in the word? That's the word in Hebrew. Dabar. As a matter of fact, let's look at that. Let's look at that word. Dabar. Because that is the word that is the word that they are actually translating as the matter. That's the word that they're actually translating as, and it's the Hebrews 1:6-9-7, right? Dabar. An arrangement. I'm going to read from the ancient Hebrew first. Let's read just from the straight Hebrew. Right? So if you have it, read it with me, family, right? I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read parts of it. And it comes from Hebrews 16:97, a word, by implication, a matter, as spoken of thing, adverbially, a cause, an act, advice, a fear, answer, right? So when we think about the word debar, it encompasses all of that, because if I'm talking to you, as I'm talking to you all now, we're not really sharing a conversation because y'all really can't talk back to me, but if you share a conversation with somebody, you're getting insight into them. You're talking to them. You're getting what is arranged in their mind, because we start off learning letters, and we start off by forming these letters into words. Words get formed into sentences. Sentences get formed into phrases. Phrases get formed into paragraphs, and so on and so forth. This is how we gain our ability to communicate with one another, right? But let's look at real quick the ancient Hebrew of that word and what it means. It's the dalet, the bet, and the resh, okay? And it's an arrangement or placement of something creating order. So when it talks about the matter, he's talking about, and didn't Yahweh set an order in place from the very beginning through his word? From the very beginning, he set an order in place through his word. And when you go through all Ecclesiastes, and not to go through today, we've already read through that. If you take your time, go ahead and read it. He went to set out all this stuff in this world. When you look at the beginning of Ecclesiastes, it's about the cares of this world. And after him being the son of a king, being the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth, the preacher, King Solomon, right? After going through all that he had went through, all that he had experienced in life, because that's how it starts off the book of Ecclesiastes. This was his summation of it. The conclusion of the matter, hear the word. Matter of fact, let's look at the word Let's look at the first word, soph, right? And that's a termination or conclusion. So, and in the ancient Hebrew, oh, did I give you the letter? Hebrew 5490, right? Excuse me. The graph is a picture of a thorn. What is a thorn? Something that sticks, representing a turning. The pe is a picture of the mouth. Combined, these means turning the mouth, the rim or the lips of the bowl, which circle around. The bowl is used for gathering things together and for eating, right? So, that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim. Wasn't that the word that Moshe gave, that the Messiah quoted when Satan came up against him? So he's telling you, gather the word. It's not just concluding the matter, but gather the word. Stick to the word. Let the word stick to your mouth. Let the word of Yahweh be a part of your lips. Fear Yahweh, Yirah, reverence, and not just fear in the sense of, you know, no, fear him the same way. I loved how brother broke it down a while back, where Yahweh said, in the presence of a lion, will you not be afraid? Will you not be afraid in the presence of a lion? I'm going back to finish reading it in the Hebrew family. Back to the Hebrew, right? He says, Sof debar hakol nishma yara wa et mitzotiyu shemur ki za kol ha adam. Adam, you were supposed to listen to that word. You were supposed to listen to the words of et ha Elohim. And sure, Ha'adom means all of mankind, but Ha'adom, the Adam, goes back to the Adam. So he concluded, Adam, man, you should have just listened to the word. Isn't that what we say sometimes? Even though we know, yes, this is the divine, or this is how things are supposed to go. But sometimes you say, boy, if Adam had just listened to the word, we would have been born in a state of pure power. But we had to experience the good and the evil. What functions, as my dear brother Brad Scott, who is now gone, I miss his teaching. What functions versus what doesn't function? What works versus what doesn't work? The divine order versus the evil order. And he said, so many of us are living off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as opposed to living off of the tree of life. Back to the English family. Again, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Stick to the word. Keep the word in your lips. Reverence Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of him. This is what's plaguing humanity. Going back to, did God say? Yes, he did say that. Just do what he says. What is the first and greatest commandment of them all? Love Yahweh with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Don't keep making the same mistake that Adam made, is basically what it's saying. Don't keep making the same mistake that Adam made. Why? Because 12:14 reads, for Yah shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, whether you are still operating off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Which part of the tree are you partaking of the most? Are you eating more of the fruits of the good? Which, what is good? The law is holy, just, and good. The Torah is holy, just, and good. What is not good? What is evil? Not keeping the Torah. Simple as that. So that's it, fam. That's all I got for y'all today. At least for now, Yahweh willing, I will see you all later. If anybody have any questions, anybody have any comments, please feel free to text, call, and or otherwise contact your brother Ahab or one of my other, as my brother Mar always say, always commands my name. You don't just say Ahab. He says Ahab. Hit your brother up. I'll be waiting to hear from brothers. And I know I got a brother I need to call. My apologies to you, my brother. I'm so sorry, but I owe you a phone call, and I am going to call you. Please forgive me. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the Universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is returned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King, Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah. Toda Aviyah, again, for the blessing of life this day. Thank you, Father, for all of your blessings, great and small, all of your miracles, Father, all the things that you have shown us, Father, throughout this journey, Father, that you are leading us, you are guiding us, you are protecting us, Father. You have us under your wings, Father. You have us within the hedge, Father. That, Father, that despite the fact, Father, that we have experienced trials and tribulations and continue to experience trials and tribulations, Father, we know that you are there, Father. We know that you have brought us close to your bosom, Father. We know that you hold us near, Father. It is us, Father, as the scriptures say, who have shame of face, Father. It is us who have gone against your will, Father. It is us, Father, who have not been obedient to your word, Father. And we ask for your forgiveness, Father, for the times that we have fallen short, Father. We beg for your mercy, Father, to look upon us with loving kindness still, Father. We ask you, Father, Yahushua, we ask you, stand before the courts, Father, and to plead our cause, Father, that our life is not taken. Despite the trials and tribulations that we may go through, we ask, Father, that you spare us, Father, that you give us one more chance, Father, to make things right with you, that we learn to love one another the way we used to, Father, that we learn to be a family the way that we used to, Father, that we protect one another the way we used to, Father, that we share laughter and joy and merriment in this life with each other the way that we used to, Father. We know that life has dealt us several blows, crushing blows, Father, but give us back that spirit of camaraderie. Give us back that spirit of loving kindness towards one another. Give us back that spirit of that family spirit, Father, that we once had, Father. Father, without you and without each other, we ain't going to make it. We're not going to make it without each other, Father. And Father, help us to understand, Father, that it is by your spirit, it is by your might, and it is through your Son, Father, that we will be able to overcome and conquer all things. These things we ask you in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, HaMashiach. Amen, amen, and amen. Shabbat shalom, family. My technology ain't working right. I'm going to try to get a closing song together for you. Give me
get glory from me. The kingdom suffering violence, and the violence taking my part. So today we make a stand, 'cause we're not taking it no more.
Yes, you are.